I'm being a teacher. A teacher is not what you think a teacher is. A teacher is one who is a catalyst to share, who encourages people to learn and to know and to understand. And if a teacher sees that two students are sharing and coming to conclusions that the teacher would like them to come to, the teacher encourages that. If the teacher sees two students sharing and she says, "Well, are you done talking? Can I go on with the class?" as though she is the only source of wisdom for the class, then there's a problem. There's a problem with the teacher. If the teacher has to introduce to the class every time the teacher stands up the background of the teacher. I was a third grade teacher. Now, I've heard that a number of times. And yesterday I heard it a little differently. For 1 year I was a third grade teacher, and then I went into computers and so forth. And 1 year, back when she was a young girl, and she remembers it and recalls it at every meeting of her class, at every discussion. And then I have worked in this group and that group and these groups who are now obsolete, who are now no longer current in the programming of computers. But this teacher wanted to tell us all her background so that we could worry it through with her. And then as she's talking on the board, she says, "Now this is how the program is, but back in my days it was this name. And then, now this is how the program is, but back when I was doing it, it was this." And I thought to myself, you know, what a shame. You're a brilliant lady. You're a brilliant lady, but you lack one wonderful feature. I told her in the access class, I said, "Miss Nicholson, I teach positive thinking." And she says, "Oh, really?" And I said, "Yes, it's like Unity School of Christianity or Christian Science or Science of Mind." Said, "Oh, Christian Science. Oh, no, Christian Science does this and does that and does the other." And I said, "No, Christian Science doesn't do that. Christian Science teaches that you can live in the absolute and be free of any medical help whatsoever if you want to take the teachings to their ultimate." "Oh, no, no, no." So when I came to class yesterday, she didn't say anything about me leaving the class in, you know, the third, fourth quarter there, that I didn't stay for it, fourth. But she didn't say anything about that. She said, "Yeah, you were with me the other day, weren't you?" "Yeah." And I mean, we had made quite a thing. "Oh, yeah, you're the positive thinker, aren't you?" "Yeah, yeah. I forgot your name, though, you know." And she should know it. I'm on her list of students for the day. But so then she says, "Yes, we had a discussion. We were talking about something very important." And I said, "Oh, what was that?" Because I really had no remembrance of it. And she says, "Well, we were talking about something." And she says, "Oh, yes, Christian Science." And I said, "Oh, yes. You said that Christian Science is one thing, and I said that it was another." She said, "And you're wrong," she said to me, you know. And I said, "Well, that's quite possible." I said, "The Christian Science that you have learned, and from the teachers you have learned it, I may be quite wrong. And from the books that I have read, I only understand that I am correct, you know. But I'm willing to be corrected if I am wrong, you know." And then she changed the subject, because she really wasn't aware of what she was talking about. She merely had an emotional attitude about it. But you see, in the class, this was Introduction to Internet. And we had a lot of really brand new students, four or five of them, really brand new. They didn't know beans about anything. And she was going along, and fortunately, one of the students said to her, you're using terms we don't understand." She's just using those normal terms, USL and URL and the whatever they are. And, "Oh, I'm sorry, yes." And I said, "Well, where are the definitions for these terms?" "I'll give them to you as we go along." And then one of the other students, who was a little more astute, she says, oh, they're on page 142 in the back of the book. They're completely listed there. All of the extensions for all the files, all the states, all the places where the emails come from, you know, people who have domain locations and stuff like that. Oh, you know, she hadn't even known. She hadn't even looked at it. But it's a new book, and she hadn't even looked at it. And she's teaching it, you know. She's teaching basic internet, which is okay. But she hadn't known that that was in the book. And so then we went on to some other questions, and we wanted to know some facts about some other stuff. Oh, that's right, you don't need to know that, because that's not important nowadays and stuff like that. But you don't say that. You just say, this is what this is, this is what this is, this is. You just move on and let us decide if it's not important. Because we'll remember what we have to remember, and we'll use what we have to use. Now, a good teacher does one thing above all else. And I don't know if I'm sharing with you sufficiently what she does or what a good teacher does, but what does a good teacher do with her class above all else? She makes them feel what in her? She makes them feel confident in her, as though she knows her subject. You know what I mean? And if a teacher goes out and has to tell you that her background proves how intelligent she is. You see, I was sitting next to a little lady, Josine, and she was from France. And she was about 78, 80 or whatever, sharp little lady. And she has relatives living in Canada and so forth. So she didn't know beans, but she has a computer at home and she plays with it. And she wanted to learn the basics and take the courses. And so as I in the Access course couldn't find half the little icons, she couldn't find them either. And she's sitting next to me, and I just take my finger and point over there and come back and do my thing, you know, point to the icon for her so she could move up to it without, you know, looking through a lot of things to find it. And she couldn't find the page half the time that we were on. And so the teacher said, well, this is what you do. And then it really didn't help her. And so I said, here, Janine, you press this and you press that, and that brings it up, you know. Oh, good, good, good. And by the time the class was over, she knew how to do it. But not because of the teacher, but because I was sitting there giving her the extra kick in the tail, you know. And she loved it. And so the teacher would stand there, put her hands on her hips, and she'd look at us, and you know, we were busy for a minute, and then we'd look at her, you know, and she'd say, well, the class is waiting for you. I have been standing here 2 minutes waiting for you, and while you are doing whatever you're doing. And all the rest of the class had their solitaire game on their computers, you know, because while they were waiting, because they were more advanced, you know, some of them. And so at the end of the class, I sat talking with the teacher for a bit, and the little lady was there, and she says, you know, Herb, she says, you are a very nice man. You are a very kind man. And thank you for taking all of the time to show me what you did today. And thank you for not being disturbed how the teacher responded to us. Thank you. She said that in French, you know. And I thought, and the teacher was sitting right there. She's hearing this. And so then Josine left. And then the teacher sat down in front of me there and she says, well, she says, what is this positive thinking stuff, you know? And so I shared with her a little bit of it. And she says, that's pretty good. Now I got to go have my lunch. And I thought to myself, lady, if you had the privilege of sitting for a half an hour talking this philosophy and you felt you had to go run and get your lunch instead, you really are not ready yet. You understand me? Because Josine, she understood. And the little lady who was sitting on the far side of the class had to get up, take all of her stuff, and move right behind me. And the little lady across the aisle from me, the black lady, just a bubble. You know, she just could not enter our conversations enough. And the couple ahead of us, Alan, the man who was retired about 64 years old, 65, and the woman who is 65, and they had a chat with me. Then I went out into the store during lunch hour, and I went over to look at the apples, of course. And there was a young man and lady standing there, and they brought their son's apple in, portable, because they wanted to learn how to use it, because he left it at their house all the time. And she looked at the pictures of the screensaver and said, "Oh, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful?" And I said, "You know, you can have your family pictures up there too." "Oh, really? I brought them with me. How do you do that?" And so the clerk was there, and he showed how, and he put them on their computer and did all these things, and then, you know, ran them as the screensaver and stuff. "Oh, so wonderful, so wonderful." And she was chatting away, and she was chatting away. She says, "You know," she said, "my husband and I are retired, and we're 65, we're rather 62 or something, and we're too old to learn all this stuff." And I said, "You're just beginning." I said, "Now you come down here and you take every class they offer in the simple parts of the computer that you want to learn. You don't have to learn all the classy stuff, just the simple stuff. And run it and enjoy it." "Oh, we're too old." I said, "Look, I'm 75 and I'm taking a whole bunch of these courses. And I'm running a corporation." I said, "Look at the United States Senate. We have senators who are 70, 75, 80, 85, 90. 90 years old and re-elected to the Congress and to the Senate of the United States at 90 years old. And you look at the statesmen from Europe and the statesmen from England now, in Europe, what are those names of those?
Adenauer.
And I mean, he was no young spring chicken, but he was filled with life. He loved what he did. And he didn't, you know what Adenauer did? One of the things that made him so famous and so successful is he did not waste time on the unnecessary. If his secretary or anybody else could do it, he didn't do it. He went off to do the big stuff and the fun stuff. He went off to do the wonderful thing. He didn't spend time at his computer doing all these things. The computers weren't there at that time, of course. But he didn't spend time on his typewriter. He would dictate these things to his secretary, and then she would take it, and then he'd send it to someone else. "Now, you know my philosophy. Edit it, you know." He wouldn't even take the time. He said, "I got other articles to write. I got other stories to tell. I got other things to do. I'm not concerned about details." And, you know, the greatest teacher of lack of concern in that sort of stuff was Jesus. Jesus didn't write anything. He went out and he taught the guys. He says, "If you don't learn, that's too bad. If the people don't want to hear what you got to say, shake the dust of the feet of that community off and leave the town." He says, "Just be yourself. Have fun." He says, "When you go to these towns, you're not going for the poor sinners. You're going for the big sinners. Because the big sinners change the poor sinners. And you're going to have wine with them and dinner with them. You're having steak and potatoes. You're having lobster. You know, you're having Chavez Regal. You're having, you know, the port and the this and that. And, you know, you're not drinking to get drunk. You're just drinking to enjoy life. Just go and enjoy these things." My goodness, people are going to say, "Terrible, that Jesus was called a wine bibber," as it was. But there's nothing wrong with anything in life if you choose to be part of it. And you choose, there's nothing wrong with it. If you go and join the publicans, you know, and the sinners, they said of the harlot who washed Jesus' feet with her hair and her tears, Jesus said, "Who among you have done anything equal to this? Let her alone. She is without sin compared to most of you," you know. And you see, a teacher is always an example. And a teacher doesn't need credit. A teacher doesn't need to be understood. A teacher just is and shares what the teacher is. And everyone who hears the teacher says, wow, that was great. Wow, I really learned a lot. Wow, where did they come from? What's their background? Oh, I don't know, but they sure knew what they were talking about. They sure live a beautiful life. They sure are great. I don't mean anything against my teacher. This is the way teachers are. And this is the way schools of positive thinking teach. You have to get out there and let people know what your, what is, your resume, what your background is, what your credentials are. That's the word I was looking for. What your credentials are. Are your credentials going to keep you from having an automobile accident if you drive carelessly? You may be a driving teacher. You may be a teacher who teaches automobile driving, and you may be an exquisite teacher. But if you drive carelessly, you invite problems. And a teacher knows that. But if the teacher doesn't practice what they teach, then they're more subject to error. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. So remember, all of us are teachers, first to ourselves, then to our creation, and then to our world. And there's nothing to teach, is there? We all know it. We're just teaching that we already know it. So, Miss Nicholson, I see you as a relaxed, laid-back teacher who knows that you know it and just has a ball teaching. And all of you, I see you as relaxed, laid-back beings who know that you know and live it now. You're wonderful.